This is Sunday, September 29th, 1974. Zion Fair Baptist Church on First Street in historic Rosenau Hill is having their Layman Day celebration. Our president, Wesley W. Law, will make the main address. The next voice you hear will be that of Mr. Ronald L. Hopkins, Jr., who will introduce the speaker, Mr. Law.
Our speaker for today is a member of the First Bryan Baptist Church. He's a native Savannian and has worked with the NAACP since his high school youth. He has been president of this branch for nearly 26 years, where he has worked with and for the beneficence of his race. Without further delay, our speaker, Mr. W.W. Law.
Amen.
Mr. Hopkins, mistress of ceremony, pastor, officers, members, and friends of the great Zion Fair Baptist Church. I am humbled to be here in your midst today. And I'm not here for any form of fashion, and I'm not sure that I really have a message. Just want to talk to you for a few minutes.
Amen. Amen.
Because I am thoroughly of the opinion that few of us realize what time it is. Sometimes sing, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And we can look back over the experiences in our own life and realize that with fewer exceptions, all of us are the recipients of many more blessings this day than God gave us yesterday or the day before.
Amen.
But I'm troubled because I look out among us and I am thoroughly of the opinion that man don't lean on the Lord like he used to.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Now I'm of the opinion that what's wrong with us as a people is not to be found in schools, in churches, in clubs and societies, or even in the dance hall, or in the bar rooms or the saloons. But what's wrong with us as a people can be taken and found to exist in the homes that we have created. I may have some difference with Reverend Hagin on this point and some other ministers, but I am of the opinion that if you don't bring yourself right, if you don't get up on Sunday morning and prepare yourself for a service,
amen,
you just got hell in the church pew when we get here.
All right. All right.
And I am thoroughly of the opinion that what we need is for homes to go back to the simple kind of home that I came out of.
Yeah. Amen.
If you look back at it, I looked at our house on 33rd Street, 400 block. We had four rooms, five with that little kitchen. You know, the kitchen was almost like an outhouse. Just get in there and you turn around at the stove at one end and turn back at this end where you had the table and the water bucket. And if you turn again, you're out the kitchen. We had four rooms in that little kitchen with a back porch, and you use that back porch. Spill out and had nowhere else to eat. They spread the children's tables out on the back porch. We ate there when the weather permitted. But we had four rooms, and as poor as we were, one of those rooms was a front room.
Yeah.
And you didn't go into it except on Sunday or when company came.
Amen.
We had three other rooms, my mother, my father, my two sisters and myself. My grandmother had her room, and then she rented out another room to a roomer because we had to have some help in paying the rent for that little house.
Well?
But it was a home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can look back over it, and I do not recall a day in my young life when my grandmother at the close of the evening did not gather us together. And she would read from her Bible after washing the white folk and ironing the white folk clothes. And she read so many times the 14th chapter of John until I knew it by rote.
Yes.
Let not your heart be troubled. Thee that believe in God, and she'd been out there in that yard all day over a washbowl. And you washed on the bowl with the octagon soap.
Yes, sir.
And then you took it and then you went into the tub and boiled them over there on the other side of the yard.
That's right. I knew what you're talking about.
And then you came back and you had some bluing and you had to rinse them in the bluing water.
That's
and
right.
She would wring them with her hands and she'd put them on the... Oh, how different.
Yes. Oh, yes.
One spigot in the yard, and we would bring our water into the house, the bucket in the evening. First thing in the morning, every child would have to get some lamp chimneys and
yes.
take out the slop bucket, as we call it.
Yes.
You know it was one in every room.
Yes.
And we would wash the lamp chimneys and trim the wicks, and put all back in the lamps
that's
again.
Right, that's right.
You'd cut your wood and you'd bring it into the kitchen. And every Friday and Saturday morning, you got down on your knees
yes.
and scrubbed those floors.
Scrub the floor. That's right.
And if by chance you streaked the floor, Grandma would get the water and tell you to get it and scrub it again.
Yes.
And I can think about all of the chores. That yard was kept spanking clean. We'd rake even under the house.
Yes.
And every morning, the front porch was swept and the sidewalk. And I tell you about all of that because it's so different from the homes I see now.
Oh, yeah. Big difference. Big difference.
Grandmother had an organ, a little pump organ. I wish I had one now. Whenever she felt like it, she would get there and she would play and all of us would sing. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. That's the home that I grew up in.
Yes.
We were Baptists as long as there have been Baptists in this community.
Yeah.
My folk are Geechies, so when Deacon Izzet began to talk, I wished that the young man had turned on, Mr. Simmons had turned on the mic, this speaker, and got him rather than me. Because the beauty of his flow of English and the sound of the voice, different from what I hear. And as he sang the hymn, I want you to listen carefully. Because he represents something that is swiftly passing on. You don't sing those hymns like he do.
No,
you listen to him.
No.
I heard the choir behind me, and they were so concerned about melody rather than to spring up from their souls the rhythm and the affirmation of faith that comes from the soul who's been scarred. But I talked about my house. My grandma used to talk to us. Mama used to talk to us. Sent us to school. Never forget my first day. And grandma used to always say, you've got to get an education.
Yeah.
And you've got to be twice as good as white folk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she used to tell me. And I don't fault her for it. Because all you got to do is walk with me. And you'll see that when I get among black folk, I have to take low.
Well?
Because I know us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kill each other about nothing.
Well, that's true, that's true.
But I don't take no back seat in the presence of no white man. I know if he start talking about Savannah, I know this town.
Yeah.
It's history. And what has made it. And I got the best I could out of the schooling that we were given in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell folk that one of the things that I regret more than anything else, Mr. Simmons, is that we tore down the old stone building on Carla's ground.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful structure. There isn't another building in the town like it. It was the site of the Old Haven Home Institute when the Methodist Church provided schools for Negroes. before public education was widely acceptable. You remember the stairs that went on up to the bell tower? It's gone now. But we, little rooms that were almost bedrooms, there were 30 and 40 of us packed in there, all around a potbelly stove. And if you just happened not to have known your lesson, all you had to do was to not take a front seat.
Well?
And the teacher wouldn't be able to catch eyesight of you in no time during that particular day. But the homes today, I passed at an age when man is now realizing that we can no longer abuse God's green earth if we want to stay healthy. Where we now realize that if this earth is to continue to produce the food that we need, that God has given us the water, he has given us the land, he has given the fertile earth. But if we abuse it, we now know that when I was a boy, crabs were fat. You buy crab now and you can hardly get a mess out of them, out of a whole dozen.
Well,
all because we have turned all of our sewage into the streams and into breeding places, and the crabs no longer have anything wholesome to feed on. Fishermen have to go further and further into the sea to find shrimp. Maybe one day there won't be any unless we wise up. But one of the things that concerned me is that we are producing in the black race people who know how to solve these problems. In too many cases, we are the problem rather than the solution. Standing our youth in an age and time when we have more opportunity than some of us as old as I ever dreamed of. They're standing on the corner watching the world go by. I realize he didn't get there by himself.
Well,
because when I was a boy, my mother used to tell me that when dark come, you be home. She would stand out there on the porch and holler, "You Wesley, come here, and I better be there before too long." This is how it was. You had to be within hollering distance. Homes now, I walk this street, working with a heavy load on my back, carrying the mail, at least 30 pounds. Up and down steps, and I want you to know that after you become more than 50,
well,
it ain't no easy task.
But
I'm up and down those steps, putting mail in boxes, seeing young people living in houses where they never sweep the porch or the sidewalk. You go around us, sand done up on the pavement and grass growing on top of the pavement, where black folk live. I grew up in areas where we didn't have no pavement and there was no grass growing in the front yard. This is what we're doing now. And you go to the back and it's even worse than out front. Just throw things into the yard. Just dump old ice boxes, old broken chairs, just throw them out into the yard. Never use it. Where we live, no kind of pride. We had a rented house. I was 48 years of age before I began to own a house.
Well,
we had a rented house, but you took care of it. Screens in houses that we own, some screens kicked out,
yes,
and the baby crawling on from the porch to the inside of the house without opening the door. This is us, educated folk I'm talking about. You go to the house and They got to move breadcrumbs and grease and other things, and sometimes even spread paper for you to sit down.
Keep you
from messing up your clothes. Child just has the freedom of the house. TV sitting there and it's running from day to night. Then you take and you send that child on to school. You haven't trained it, no discipline. Takes his bread. When they gave me a piece of bread, most time it wasn't even light bread.
Well,
we stepped out of the porch into the yard and ate it out there. And then if we got ready to come back into the house, they would take a wet cloth and wipe your hands and your mouth. That's what Mama did. But you ate bread. If you ate it in your hand, you ate it out there in the yard somewhere. Reb say it was cornbread.
Yeah, many cases. Oh, yeah.
But now children eat all over the house, you see? And then we don't sweep.
That's true.
In the bed, somebody says. You don't discipline him. And then you get around and it's about time for him to go to school. First thing about it, before he goes to school, you've given him everything that he can think of. All kinds of toys. Anytime you want it. Money anytime you want. I hear them talking about allowance now. I didn't get no allowance. Every time I talk to my mother about needing something, she'd say, you better get your job and save your money. That was a message. Get your job. I don't have it. Get your job and save your money.
Yeah.
And almost as long as I could remember, there was a bank, little kind of bank. And if anybody gave me something, it went into the bank. And as long as I can remember, we had a bank. Then as we got older, they began to set up little accounts in the bank downtown for a quarter and 50 cents.
Yes, yes.
They trained us, didn't allow us to spend everything we had. Nor could I get everything I saw somebody else with. How often I remember them telling me, say, well, now I can't afford it. And you can't have it. Say, and don't become disturbed because you see them got it next door. You don't know how the Joneses live. This is what they told.
Yeah.
I now know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Now know what she's talking about. Because a little later on, I began to read a little story of a black slave girl who was standing on the auction block. And a man, white man, had looked at her and she was skinny and ragged and poor looking, and he walked up and said, girl, if I buy you, would you be honest? And he asked her that because he realized that she was too sickly and frail to be a field hand. He would have to take her into his house and make her a house servant if he bought her. And the little girl with two bright eyes stared him in the face and said, sir, I was going to be honest whether you buy me or not. This I came to understand. When my mother would not let me have everything that I wanted. I don't have everything that some of you got now. And I have no desire for it. Because I realize that if I work and do right, what I'm supposed to have, God will see that I get it. So I don't envy you. You can have as many cars, as many suits, you see, anything you want. Because I came up where some days we didn't quite know what we were going to eat that day. And ain't dead yet. Finally, when my daddy died at the age of 10, I must tell you, because I'm afraid that some of us are sore ashamed of our past until we're living lies. I wasn't born rich, and I ain't rich now, and I've worked all of my life. My mama had to go to work, and I was the oldest boy, the oldest child, at 10. And there were two others behind me. And she would cook some days, if we had very much to cook, one pot of rice.
Yeah.
And we'd put into that rice a can of tomatoes. It wasn't real red rice, it was pink rice. That tomatoes was spread. We'd put some water into that, the can, and then we'd add water. Sometimes there were some weenies as the meat.
Yeah.
And we would eat out of that one pot for breakfast, dinner, and supper. We'd soak up the crust out of the bottom with water, and we'd eat that. But I came from a home. Because we sat in the morning at breakfast. There were Bible verses. Somebody prayed. And in the evening, before you went to bed, we knelt at our mother's knee, and we said our prayers, and the lights were turned out.
Yeah.
Why isn't the home where you are raising children like that home? Everything that my parents could give me, they gave me. They had no riches to give me. But they gave me what they had. And I would tell you that I knew church hymns long before I was 6 years old and could go to school.
Yeah.
I knew books about Negroes because they were in our house long before I could read. Nobody had to tell me about the greatness of my people. I heard my parents talked about them.
Yeah.
And I hear now everybody expecting the school to do it.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you know something as parents, laymen? Don't you know something? Why is it that every new fad that comes out,
well,
you let your children step out with it?
Everyone.
My parents wouldn't permit it. Say, you represent me.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna wear that dress that short.
Yeah.
Care how many times Susie and Jane wear theirs up above their knees, yours ain't gonna be there.
Amen.
It's the kind of home I came up under. I thank God for it. Because I want to tell you, some of the girls I see going from home, it's impossible for any boy to keep his mind on the teacher's work.
Amen.
Sitting a guy or a girl with a dress up her hips, round her hips. Reb says up to her nail. But we've got to come back. This is all I'm telling you. As a people, we're going to have to come back because we have gotten far from what God would be pleased with.
Yes, he did.
And I want to tell you that already we are suffering the consequence.
Oh, yes.
Scientists have told us that the afro, keep pulling and picking your hair, that it's going to cause you to become bald sooner than you would otherwise. That you're killing the roots, continuously jerking it onto your hair. And some of the others, rather than jerk on it, they go days and days without combing it. Matted down, bad lint, going off to school, plaiting it, looking like somebody touched an electric wire. And hair just stand up on the head.
Yeah.
Ought to be shame.
Yeah.
To emasculate the body that God has given you. Picking any. And I'm going to tell you, here we go again. Everything that white folk produce to get our money, we fall for it.
Amen. Amen.
And our young people that think they're smart are the worst fools of all. You check it. Go down Broughton Street, and if you find a white folk wearing all the high heels and all these tight men clothes that look like women dresses and women clothes that look like men clothes, and if you see them wearing it, I eat my hat. But they produce it for us because they know that deep in our hearts, although we don't say it, that we feel inferior. That we forget day in and day out that out of one blood, God made all men for the dwell on the face of the earth.
Amen.
There we are. And as soon as we buy up one style, he comes out with another.
Yeah.
You check it.
That's right.
Every year or two, here they go. I got on, and I want to tell you this.
Where?
I want to tell you this. I haven't bought a suit of clothes in my life. And what, this coat, by the way, somebody gave it to Mr. Simmons, and he gave it to me because he couldn't wear it.
Amen.
Looks pretty good. If I hadn't told you, you wouldn't know who bought it, you see.
Amen.
But since the 60s, when we boycotted Broughton Street, I started going to secondhand clothes counters for clothes, and when I need them, that's where I get them now.
Good.
I want to tell you, I keep them my church dues.
Well,
some folk buy clothes and buy cars and houses before they take care of their obligations. I take care of my obligations first. Every black man, by the way, ought to have a membership in the NAACP. And I talk with them about it, and they tell me, as soon as I'm able. But here we are. For such a time as this, that God has blessed us, taken us out of slavery. He just brought us through segregation, talking with young Hopkins, and he told me he's at Armstrong. You know how we got there?
Yeah.
Wasn't easy.
Right.
He is in a position where he can get anything in education that any other white child in this community gets.
Indeed.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Because I want to tell you that we have a habit sometimes of being too complacent and accept things just as they are, and just enough to get by. And I want to tell you that the thing that you ought to be passing on to your children in this day and time
is some knowledge and some common sense. I'm getting ready to tie up my message now. That you ought to pass on to your children an appreciation for knowledge and possession of some common sense. We ain't doing it. I knew at a time when we were in slavery almost, segregated, back in the 20s and 30s, and if you didn't have something colored, you just didn't have it. The only thing that I knew that was open to Negroes were the squares downtown. You could always sit in the square. If you went to the store, most of them didn't have even a restroom. And if we really got pushed, we had to run to the city market. And when the city market was torn down, we had to stop behind a trash can in Broughton Lane, or Congress Lane. This is where it was. And if they had one fountain, you knew that that wasn't for you. And it was only when they marked the fountain in the restrooms colored that you knew that you better drink there.
That's true.
No store had, only the West Broad Street stores used Negroes as salesmen. And they were kind of messenger boy salesmen, like they'd stand outside and bring you into the store for the white man to sell the stuff to you. You see, this is where it was. But all of this has changed. I go now into banks and into to keep from having to deal with you. And you have to go on and have white folks serve you anyhow. And the reason we fought to get them there is so that we could be proud and that they would serve us. But here is where we are. Our children are in integrated schools. And did you check your honor roll? They're not producing. They're not learning. We're sending our children out into the world with belligerent attitudes. That white woman say something to you you don't like, you hit her back.
Say it again. Say it again.
Don't you do it. She's got the knowledge that you want. And I want to tell you, my parents taught me that if she's grown, you mine. I don't care who it is. Neighbor next door, old person down the street, teacher, anybody. Somebody grown speak to you, you better pay attention. Because if I hear about it, it's going to be manners and behavior. We need to go back to that.
That's right. That's right.
Because I don't care how bright you are, how smart you think you are. If you're young, you don't know it yet. It's going to take some living. And I see some young folk back there finding what I'm saying funny. But it's going to take some living. Because I was young too. I thought I knew it. But I want to tell you, it's only now at this vantage point. Thought my mother was hard when she said, come in. But most of the guys who stayed on the corner in jail are dead now. Thank be to God, I still have the use of my limbs.
Yeah.
And is able to do something for myself and for somebody else.
Yeah.
You see, all those who were the bullies in my class are dragging around now with one side, you see, gone, bad.
Yeah. Bad.
You see, somebody else was badder. Christ said that meek is the way, and it conquers in the end. All you've got to do is try to be right. But our children are going to school, and they're not learning. Have you looked at any cards recently? I see them coming, and I looked at the cards, and by and large, I can see them with F's and D's and F's and D's, and especially in mathematics and English.
Yes.
The two things, and you know, I don't care where you go in school, whether you went back to the old school that I went to, or whether you go to a modern-day school, the 3 hours still hold. Anybody who don't know how to read and write and arithmetic, you can't handle it. You can get all the degrees in college you want to get. But if you can't write well, if you can't spell, and if you can't read, and if you can't figure, you ain't gonna get very far. But this is it. But let me tell you, I see black parents getting all these, letting children come home with that kind of card. And some of them don't even ask and demand to see the card. The child signs the card themselves and carry it back to the teacher. Now, if that's a child being read, I keep my hat. And then even when they sign it, they're so busy doing two or three jobs that they come in the evening, the child already gone to bed, and they take and sign the card, and before the morning, they're gone. Think about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. That my parents made all kinds of sacrifices once they began to have children. My mama didn't go out in the evenings like the other women because she had to put us to bed.
Well,
you see. And she had to be there when we woke up. We'd wake up sometime, cry, and she'd have to leave the light burning until we'd go to sleep, and then she'd turn it off again. But she was around. Fine mothers now trying to keep up with the daughter. She's in the streets before the daughter get there. And sometimes they go with the same boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I see them so caught up with the material things of the world. The daddy got a hard job out here at Union Camp. And he comes home in the evening, and he goes and do the cleaning or the security job at night. Two jobs. Mama got her job. All because they got to live out in the subdivision in the split-level house, and everybody got to have a car, and we got to keep all these new clothes. But you know what? I tell you, because I'm the only member in my family that has a college degree on either my mama or my daddy's side. Poor folk. Poor. But you know what? My grandmother, way back yonder, used to clean up down at the telephone company.
Well?
And when my mother and my sister, my mother and her sister and her brother became of school age, she quit that job. And grandma started taking in washing and ironing so she'd be home when her children came from school. You check it out. Ain't had no much book learning. She'd get us down there sometime, and I didn't know in my small little way that I thought she was a great woman.
Great.
And she'd sit there and say, spell boy, spell compressed ability. And that was the test. You remember it? Because they knew they had to do it in syllables. Compressed ability. And in order to pass her test, you had to spell it by syllables. But what I was learning, that any word you could break down and spell it by syllables. I didn't learn that in school. I learned it at home.
Oh, yeah?
From a grandmother who I'm not sure could read too much. Because now, as I become, I was trusting in my youth. But now as I grow older and don't trust nobody too much, she read 14th chapter of John so much, I think she must have committed it to memory. You see. But there we were. I'm asking you, what are you doing? And I'll tell you this. I find black parents getting these cards, signing them, rushing them on back to school. And not become concerned about what kind of marks the child is bringing home until the teacher don't promote them. Then when they don't get promoted, they're ready to roll up their sleeves and go in there. Why didn't my child get promoted? Can't read, can't write, and he wants him to get promoted. But you know what? You know what? There ain't a one of you here who raised children who can't teach them to read and write.
Amen.
And I contend if you do your duty when you send the child off to first grade, you ought to be able to read and to write. You got to take up time with the children. Black man never goes out with his family. Too many times. Time never goes out. Poor woman got to struggle with them everywhere. I see them all over town. One dragging on behind her and another one in her arm. You never see no dad. I tell you, you got to get hold of your girls and tell them that they got to be somebody. And it ain't important to be the most popular girl on the campus, because the most popular girls on campus often end up making mistakes on the welfare roll with somebody supporting children, because there ain't no daddy. You want to hold yourself high and realize that Rome was not built in a day. And that if the man is worth anything at all, he's worth worth meeting your standard rather than you falling down to his level. We need to do that. And far too many situations of yielding to temptation has caused children to be brought into the world. And you can say what you want, but in this day and time, you can't raise them by yourself. Care how good a woman you are. And needs to be a man there. Never forget. Whenever my mother would beat and whip and chastise and everything else, wait till your daddy come.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Sure wish I didn't have to wait, because that was it. But now if there hadn't been no daddy,
well,
where would I be today? They've got to think about it. But let me just tell you this, and I must close. But I'm speaking out of the fullness of my heart because we ain't what we ought to be. We ain't what we could be.
All right.
Do you realize that back in the 20s and the 30s, there were between 20 and 30 black doctors in this town?
Yes, sir.
There was one here on Rosenau Hill.
Sure was.
And there was one over in Woodville.
That's right.
But are they now? Where are they? You could go from this side of town to the other and almost not find a black doctor. But we had them.
Sure did.
We got more schools now than we ever had. Yet we don't have no doctors no more. Just beginning to get a few lawyers. Of course, the other side of the coin is that we've got to support each other better. I hear Negroes all the time come to my lawyer.